Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Viva Alberto's podcast. My name is John Fleming. I'm a writer and editor at Viva Alberto's, joined as always by fellow writer and editor at Viva Alberto's, Heather Simon.
Hello.
We're also possibly getting some more of the Kane cameos that are becoming really, I think, the hallmark of the podcast. And we could try to edit them out, but really, I think it's endearing. I think everyone should enjoy it. And if they don't, then you can always stop listening. Actually, don't stop listening. Please don't. We need everybody to listen. But we have a special guest on the podcast today. He is the co-host of The Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. He's been in St. Louis for a few months now. He's doing a terrific job. And we decided, hey, let's try to invite him on. And he's joining us. We're very happy about it. Chris Ranji, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing quite well. Very appreciative that you're coming on to talk Cardinals with us after being on the radio for 4 hours today. But
yeah, I'm just here to talk to the dog.
You're here to talk to the, yeah.
I don't blame
I think about what kind of bad person do you have to be to not like dogs?
Like, I think I can tolerate people who don't, like, want to own a dog for whatever reason.
That's different. Yeah, than hating them. I don't want to own a dog. I love dogs. I don't want to own one. But that's mostly because I'm selfish and I don't feel like having to get up to take it downstairs to walk it and then pick up its poop.
Yeah, that's the worst part. I made a joke once. I'm like, I don't trust people that don't like dogs. And then the person was like, my wife doesn't like dogs. It's like,
well, I don't trust your wife then.
Don't trust your wife. Right. Well, now, if they don't like cats, then they're okay. Because cats are awful.
I'm not a cat person.
See, I'm not anti-cat. Like, I prefer dogs, but if people want to have a cat, that's cool, whatever.
I like animals in general, but cats seem to sense that I just don't really like them very much, and so then they, like cling to me even more than they do normal people.
I feel like if you have a cat, you might as well just get a goldfish, because the cat, like, comes around that often, you know? I mean, you get to pet them the same amount.
Yes.
So just have a goldfish. It costs less. You don't have to get a litter box, and your place doesn't smell.
There's a VEB commenter, Mr. Manager, that once said, or maybe it was Brack in the Box. Either way, it was someone from VEB once said that all the reasons for owning a cat are all the reasons to not have a pet. Or like, basically, if you want a cat as a pet, then you don't really want a pet.
That's actually a pretty valid point.
Yeah.
It's probably like because it takes care of itself, you don't have to do it. Well, yeah, then what's the whole point? The whole point of having one is that it comes around and pretends like you're even, you know, like in existence. Like, the cats don't even act like you matter to them. So
Right. They're
the worst.
Yeah, like this dog, like I'm the world to this dog. It makes me feel so great, even though he was really aggravating me today. I felt really bad for getting annoyed at him, because I'm like his whole entire world.
That's true, man. You really are.
Yeah.
Like, you leave the house, and all it's thinking is she ever coming back? I don't know. Why did this happen? What did
exactly.
I do? Poor, what's wrong with me? And then you come at the door, and then, like, he's so happy, and then the next day, the same thing happens to him. Like, he has to, your poor dog relives like the worst hell every day.
Aww.
Yeah,
he has no
so think of it like that, and try not to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad every time.
I'm glad we had you on to talk sports, and we haven't talked sports for a second, but we've gotten Heather to have an existential crisis. So.
I feel bad every time I have to leave. But I just remind myself he doesn't have a concept of time, so like it's like 5 minutes to him, and then I come back, and he's like,
Oh, yeah. Then it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Whatever gets you through the night, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But... right. Yeah, sure. Dog doesn't know that it's been 14 hours. He thinks it's instantaneous. Like, you walked out the door, shut the door, and then walked right back in. That's what he...
It's probably when his TV shows turn off. It's probably when he starts getting mad.
It could be the other way around, though, where you go to the bathroom for a minute, you come back, and he feels like you've been gone for a couple hours, though.
Yeah,
I usually talk to him through the door.
Well, at least you don't, you know what, at least you don't have him in there with you, because I know weirdos that do that.
I can't. I'm like, you have to get out. I have to have at least a minute to myself, please.
A damn minute.
Just a minute. Like, now I know how, like, it's obviously on a greater scale, but how, like, parents feel with kids, where they're, like, hiding in pantries and stuff. I'm like, I know how it feels.
I know I've totally sidetracked your whole podcast, but I had a buddy that I used to work with in Chicago that used to seriously ask the question, how much, because he had kids, like two small kids, And he was asking people, like, how much time is too much time each day to pretend like I have to poop? Because, like, his only his only, like, vacation from his family was to go into the bathroom and pretend like he was taking a dump. Like, that was it. And so he said he used to pretend, like, three times a day he had to go, but he didn't. He was just getting quiet time for himself.
Everything all makes more sense now. Like, it all makes more sense. I'm like, geez, like, now I know where my dad was going all those years. He just wanted to get away
from
us.
That's it. Yep. His bowels were fine. He just didn't. He was like, give me a minute from you people.
I was like eight, and I'm like looking up Crohn's disease. Like, like, what's wrong with that?
And we are really running the gamut of all of the big Cardinals breaking news here, aren't we?
If people listening are like, just get to the sports.
Yeah.
We have people who complain every week about whenever we do trivia. We're not doing trivia this week, so you don't have to worry about it. But whenever we do trivia, people complain about it. There's enough people that like it that we still do it, but people have to just be thinking during that entire time, like, you guys are going to actually talk about baseball, right?
Yeah. But all those people that complain about trivia, I'm with you.
I bet they're loving this, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, listen, if they're not, what, they just, how long was that? About 4.5 minutes?
Yeah.
Like they were really going to do anything important with that 4.5 minutes. They had a whole lot going on. Just
they could
get
have
to
a
the
job
face.
They're neglecting.
You guys are fine.
All right. Well, anyway, though, we probably should talk about actual stuff. As we mentioned before, you are the co-host of The Fast Lane. You mentioned before also that you've come from Chicago to be the host. We'll talk about you and your career and basically your life at a little bit later on in the episode. But for now, we'll just talk about some of the stuff that's happened with the Cardinals in the last week since we recorded an episode. One of the big stories, of course, was Randall Grichuk, who had been struggling at the plate and was demoted, not to AAA, like might have been assumed by me when I first heard the headline, Randall Grichuk demoted, but to single A Palm Beach. Jose Martinez was activated. He'd been on the disabled list, had some rehab appearances in the minor leagues. But as far as that move, I think a lot of people probably did not expect going into the season that Randall Grichuk was going to get demoted, but it happened last year too. And it's really hard to know, I think, at this point, what exactly Randall Grichuk's going to be. Chris, what did you think of the move? Just not only in terms of how it affects the Cardinals right now, but in terms of, you know, what this means for Randall Grichuk's future.
I really don't know what to think about what it means for his future. I assume that he'll be back here probably fairly soon, I guess. I was like you, kind of surprised he went to high A. It makes sense that the reason they would send him there is that he can pretty much hit every, you know, whenever he wants to, because it's not like, you know, it's not like those at bats matter. It's not as much as it would be for going to Memphis or Springfield or whatever. But I don't know. I think it's I wish I knew what to think of his career and what he was going to be, because I kind of assumed that for the rest of this year he would be here, you know. And I think they've been pretty quick, at least I know you guys have followed the team a lot more closely in the last couple of years. I've always kind of kept an eye on what's going on, but not as closely as you do. You pretty much do this every day, and I know that they've been kind of impatient with other players before. I think they showed some impatience with Wong. I think they've been impatient with Grichuk too. So I just kind of figured, all right, this is a year where you're going to get your full 6 months and you do what you can do with it. And then by the end of this, we'll know, I think, what to do moving forward. But that's not to say that at some point they wouldn't make a decision and go a different direction. But I really didn't think it would be before May was over. I thought it would be like maybe at the earliest the end of next month. But, I mean, this is pretty quick to do this. And it's not like I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. It just is surprising that they did it. I thought they would give him a little bit more time than they have. But I don't know what to think of him. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be a good on base guy. He really never has been. Really, his trick is hitting home runs, and he's not doing that enough to keep a spot on the roster, I don't think. But he's really kind of an interesting case, and I think they committed some money. They committed some years to Piscotty, which kind of tells you that they've got two of the outfield spots open. So maybe somewhere deep in their minds, they're thinking maybe Grichuk isn't going to be our guy moving forward. We'll give him an opportunity, see what he does in the minor leagues, and then possibly he comes back here by the end of the year. And I think he will, probably within the next several weeks. That's just my guess. But, yeah, maybe he never turns into what they were kind of hoping he would be. Now, I don't know what that means then if he doesn't. If Harrison Bader comes up next year, I'm not sure what that means moving forward. But he's disappointing. He's what's strange is that you look at some of his peripherals, and I'm sure you guys have done that already, and he's taking a lot of pitches, and he's not swinging at strikes. Like, I mean, he's under what he usually does in terms of going after pitches in the strike zone. So I'm really not sure what his game plan is, or if it's just that pitchers have figured out how to attack him, and because of that, he's just having no success whatsoever. But he's an interesting case, man. I mean, you might just have to get to a point here fairly soon where you realize he's never going to quite be a major league player, that maybe he's somewhere in between AAA and here.
All right, and Heather, what were your thoughts in addition to that, I guess?
Well, he just seems to always be a streaky player, and his main problem is that his good streaks are not good enough that when he has bad streaks, people remember the good streaks, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like
a lot of players are like that in baseball, where they live on their good streaks, but those good streaks are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Colton Wong kind of seems like a similar type of player that they end up averaging out about average, but they just look so bad when they're lost, especially Grichik, because he strikes out a lot. He looks so terrible when he's on a bad streak that it's hard to remember that. I mean, he leads the team in doubles right now, so he hasn't been hitting home runs, but power has been showing up in doubles power.
Yeah. He leads the team in steals, too, which I learned while at the stadium yesterday. I saw on the scoreboard. It was just a little bit, a sad moment.
What was it, like one?
It was five, actually.
Wow. Wow, he's got five of them.
Yeah, I did not think it was that high either, but...
Insanity.
Apparently that's
he's on pace for 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, was on pace for 15.
Well, right, was. Sure.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to evaluate that. But, yeah, I think that the move of sending him to single A really, if it wasn't obvious enough that they were doing this because they want to make sure Grichik gets right, then sending him down three levels pretty much establishes what they're doing here. And I just don't really know what to make of Randall Grichik. There are always some camps who seem to believe that he's like a potential all-star. Then there's people that think that he's not a major league player. Normally I tend to sort of split the middle on these things, but with Grichik I sort of alternate between the two camps where either I think he's just amazing or I think he's just a complete bum. But I think in general it's a fine move. I feel like this is one of those situations where I don't want to be too deferential to the organization and just assume they always know what's best, but this is a case where, if this is indeed the right move, it wouldn't be based on anything that I know. It would be based on people who are interacting with him and know what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. And Martinez, while I don't believe that his production early in the season is for real, like, who else are they going to call up at this point? Like, you could call up Harrison Bader, you could go back to Magnary Sierra, but I think that Martinez is the safest option there. He didn't have such a great moment yesterday, and yesterday being Monday, when he made missed a cutoff throw that
oh the throw to third
been
yeah
made. And I was, as I mentioned before, I was at the game, so I didn't hear the semi rant at the time. But Mike Shannon was apparently not so happy with the throw, which I think people may have exaggerated a little bit just how mad Mike Shannon was. I think that was more of just general frustration at the Cardinals. That just happened to manifest at a time that Martinez had a bad throw, but they ended up switching out the outfield alignment today, though, with Martinez playing in left, Pham playing in right. I'm wondering if it was just that one moment that that caused it. It seems silly, but like Pham had a really good throw at a play to the plate that the guy ended up being safe, but it was a play that had no business even being close. So maybe that's the strategy at this point, but.
Speaking of the Shannon thing, I just happened to be in the car at the time that happened, and I don't know that people are making too big of a deal of it, but I thought it was significant in the fact that I have, and like I said, in the last 10 years, I haven't listened to a ton of Cardinals games, not like I used to, but I used to listen to a lot, and I don't think I've ever heard him do that. I've never heard him rant like that, and it almost, I heard it happen in real time, and Rooney was doing the play-by-play, and if I remember right, it was one of those moments where you can tell this happens, where like maybe Shannon has stepped away for a little bit, or Rooney is not quite at the headset, and sometimes you know, baseball broadcast teams do that, where they're kind of alternating the work, and they're not always necessarily right there with the headsets on calling. Like, you know, maybe one of them will step to the back of the room and, you know, take a breather or whatever. And I kind of got the sense that's what he was doing, and then that play happened, and he, like, came back to the headset just so he could do it. That's the way it felt to me, because he didn't say anything for a while, and then that play happened, and then he went off for about 45 seconds or 50. And it's not like he was – I mean, I've heard much angrier. I was right. in Chicago listening to Hawk Harrelson do games, yeah. so I've heard so. much. But for Shannon – and for that broadcast, that was pretty unusual. And I think all that was indicative of just how crappy it's been. Because this is not just a this year thing, as you guys know. They did it last year. They were and not all the defensive metrics are totally reliable, but all you have to do is go back and look at what they were, and there is a pretty strong suggestion that they were a terrible defensive team if you weren't watching them all year. So that's just carried over into this year. And, you get to a point where you've been around the team as long as he has, and you keep seeing this, and now you're seeing it for a year and a half almost, mm-hmm. and it's probably enough to drive you over the edge. You know what I mean? Like, I know you guys are probably thinking the same thing. This is outrageous how bad they are defensively.
Well, I wrote the recap for that game Monday, and I even brought up how a similar play happened two games into the season, and I was already tired of it.
Because of the year before.
Yes. It was two games into the season. Grichuk threw to the plate instead of into second to try to keep a run from scoring, and he wasn't going to get that runner out. And so that ball really should have went into second to keep that runner out of scoring position. And I just went off about it. It, because it was against the Cubs, was surrounded by Cubs fans, misquoting Shakespeare.
Oh, this again.
And disparaging Adam Wainwright. They called Dexter Fowler a traitor, and then the guy says, "Et tu, Brutus."
And, completely butchering the line.
Yeah,
of course,
and,
yes.
Like,
and by the way, when he said traitor, he probably meant T-R-A-D-E-R.
Yeah.
No, only Cardinals fans call players traitors for leaving. That's only a Cardinals
fan. Oh, okay.
You traitor, et tu, Brutus. And then there was another Cubs fan in front of me in, like, an American flag Jake Arrieta jersey type thing.
Again, I don't know. I am so convinced.
I probably know the guy.
Yeah. He had a man bun.
I don't think I'd be friends with that guy.
Oh, I definitely know that guy.
Yeah. Okay. He seemed cool because he turns around and he's like, "It's Brute, you idiot. You moron." It's like, that's not even, I was like, I turned to him, I'm like, that wasn't even the quote. It was driving me insane. But yeah, so then on top of all that, then we have this play, and the Cardinals went on to lose that game 2-1 because, of course, Javi Baez bunts that runner in. I guess the throw should have went to third, because then the next at bat, he gets bunted in from third base when he should have still been on second if that throw hadn't gone home. And then they lost 2-1. And I just went on about it for literally days and now months.
I say months, yeah. The game happened 2 months ago. I don't really remember.
It just drives me crazy. But... so I totally understand Mike Shannon's frustration. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, well, it's just like what you said earlier. It's not even that he ranted so much. He didn't sound super angry. But this is Mike Shannon we're talking about. This is Mike Shannon that's like...
like the most relaxed, not totally in the moment kind of announcer you could possibly have. Like the guy who's basically just made for like... a midsummer game you don't care that much about.
Right.
Usually in a good mood.
Right.
On the air in a good mood. And which kind of indicates to me that, broadcasters for the most part, I mean, you guys know this, they're going to tone it down a little bit. So if they're really pissed about something, they'll let you know they're upset. But I promise you that as soon as the inning's over and they turn the microphones off, one of them is MF in the team because, you know, they're not happy with what they're seeing, and like this, I'm sure of it. I've seen it, a thousand times. So I promise you, he was more upset than he let on. But that's just his on-air persona. So I think the bigger point is that it's just kind of it's an indication of, all right, this is, you know, I've had enough of this. It's been going on for over a year, and I almost, you know, I know you're going to bring up Chicago later, but I've said it before on our show a bunch of times that I feel like I've brought this White Sox stank with me because for the last three years, this is exactly, I mean, this shit is exactly what was going on. I'm not kidding you. This is exactly what was going on. They were pitching awesome. the rotation 1 through 5 was awesome. They had Chris Sale and Jose Quintana, and they were killing it. 1 through 5, they had a good rotation, but their bullpen stunk, and their base running stunk, and their defense was atrocious for 3 years. So, and you guys down here are not used to this. And I'm like, oh, man, talk to me when it's August, because I've seen this. I've lived it. And then I had to take phone calls from angry people who were drunk, and I've seen this, and I guess it's frustrating for me because I was kind of hoping to come down here and be like, oh yeah, Cardinal baseball, it'll be better. It is not better.
That's pretty bad. Happened.
But the thing is, like, it carries over from the year before, and I remember talking to, and I half remember because I cannot remember who the player was I was talking to, but it was somebody who used to play. And I was doing an interview, and I was asking him about the defense from the year before and, you know, being concerned about the next year. And he said, well, you know what? It's a different year. So you have to forget about everything that happened the year before. And I kind of think that's BS, because you have a lot of the same players, mostly the same players, except for Dexter. And what else? I mean, everybody else is pretty much the same for the most part. Why would I think that they're suddenly going to be a better defensive team with the same freaking people back next
year? Yeah. Like, you can make incremental improvements, but
right.
Like, at that point, the outfield difference, you move Fowler in there, who he'd been better the last couple of years, but typically hasn't been considered, like, a great defensive outfielder. But, yeah, I guess it's an improvement if you move Grichuk over to left, and then you get Holiday or Moss or whoever's in left field out of there. But at the same time, like, the infield defense was, you know, really shoddy last year. And even if you're giving more of an emphasis to Colton Wong playing, which granted, he's on the DL now, so you don't have that advantage anymore, then you're stuck with, you know, having usually either Johnny Peralta or Jed Jerko at third base. Neither one is exactly Manny Machado or Nolan Arenado at third base. And then you have Aledmys Diaz, who is, you know, probably not an elite defensive shortstop, to put it lightly. Like, at some point, I think you kind of have to just concede that this isn't going to be a great defensive team. If you're good enough offensively, then you're willing to accept that, but they haven't really been that either.
Because, yeah, they're supposed to get better at first by moving Matt Carpenter there and getting him off third, and he hasn't been great at first either.
So everything's going great, huh?
Yeah.
No, I think, I don't know, like, here's the one thing they can do. Like, you're not going to – Aledmys Diaz is not going to develop range all of a sudden. He just – that's just who he is. I mean, he might be able to clean it up a little bit. But the one thing you can do is not be stupid. It's not – it's really not hard to not be stupid. All you have to do is think. And maybe sometimes the game comes at some players a little faster than others, where in their mind the ball's coming to them, they're racing, they're not really thinking clearly, where should I throw, you know, where should this throw go to, and they throw it to the wrong damn base, which happens a lot. But that's the kind of stuff, if you avoid that, if they were to clean it up like that, or like a thing that Wong seems to do a lot, even though he's got pretty good range, the thing he does, and you guys know this, like, he'll have an eternity to throw to first, and like, he double pumps and then he throws it in the dugout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't know what that is. I don't think he doesn't have the thing. It's not that, but
it's not like a tough knot lock situation. It's just no.
Right. He doesn't have the thing. But there is an occasional lapse in concentration, and that just, if they were to clean that up, suddenly they were all concentrating pretty much all the time, and they knew which base to throw to, and Wong didn't do stuff like that when he's throwing a first, then they are right now probably conservatively 3 wins better.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, and I think that's totally conservative, because it's probably more than that. They might be 5 wins better right now just with that. Even if they don't have a bunch of range as a team, they don't have to. They just can't be dumb. And you know, if they were to clean up the dumb stuff, they would be totally improved. And that just, I mean, to me, it just seems like the kind of thing that they should be able to correct. But, you know, we've seen teams throughout history that have the same sort of problems, and they never clean it up either. So I don't know. I don't know what makes me think they're going to.
Because that's exactly like what I mentioned in the recap, is that the mistakes they're making are fundamental, basic, they're mental mistakes. It's one thing to make a physical mistake. A ball takes a bad hop, or you're
just like too slow to get to it,
you just can't physically get to it.
That's
one thing. Yeah, like you can't fix that. It's a bummer, but you know they tried. But the mental mistakes, throwing to the wrong base, that ugh, man.
It's unacceptable, and you know, and then everybody wants to blame coaching staffs, and you know, I don't know how much you've followed me, and I used to irritate a lot of people because I don't really think a ton about major league coaching. Because the way I see a lot of this is this is stuff that you need to know before you get here. I mean, if you become a major league ball player and you don't know where the throw's supposed to go, what the hell have you been doing for the 20 years you've been playing the game?
Yeah, it's
because you're probably coming up as a 24, 25-year-old. I'm talking to you guys who don't play professional baseball. I don't play pro ball, and I know all this stuff, and everybody watching knows all this stuff. We know which base a ball's supposed to go to. We know how to not be dumb. So, and I understand that, like, some of these guys are, in fact, most of them were just so talented. All that other stuff, they didn't have to clean up because it didn't matter because they were so much better at everything else than everybody they played against, which gets them here. But still, man, I mean, if you play enough baseball and you watch enough, you need to know what base to throw to by the time you become a major leaguer. But then everybody wants to say, well, you know, it's because Jose Oquendo's not around. Is it? Is it really because Jose Oquendo is not around that this 27-year-old man doesn't know not to throw to third base and to hit the cutoff guy? You learn that crap when you're 9. And he's like 20 years later, yes, it's because Jose Oquendo's not there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certain ways in which having a Jose Oquendo or whomever would help, but hopefully you're not counting on one coach to turn the entire team around. Hopefully you have guys who are able to help players refine their game, but you know, certainly you hope that a player is major league ready. Now, you mentioned Colton Wong before. He's been moved to the disabled list, and the corresponding move was that Paul DeJong was called up. Admittedly, not a player that I was super familiar with before this because I don't really follow prospects that well, but ended up hitting a home run in his first career at bat on Sunday, which I missed because the friends that I was watching the game with decided, oh, nothing's going to happen. Let's just go do something other than watch the game. But good for him. He fell one home run short of Keith McDonald's Cardinals record for consecutive home runs to start a career, but had a good game on Monday and had a kind of a bad defensive play earlier in the game that's currently going on Tuesday, but I think that move was fine. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on it. I'd like to see Greg Garcia play more, but as far as putting a guy on the roster, I think that at this point, you just put position players on there because at this point, you know, the Cardinals are working with an extremely short bench as it is. Jed Jerko is missing today's game because his wife went into labor. Steven Piscotty's missed the last few games with some sort of issue that hasn't really been clarified. Might not be any of my business, so whatever. But at this point, the bench is, I think it's just Greg Garcia and Eric Fryer at this point. Am I forgetting anyone that's on the bench right now?
No, I think that's literally it. I think it's just those two guys. And I don't know what the I'm still kind of in the beginning I understood it, I guess. Maybe in April I understood carrying the extra reliever. Some teams do that early in the season, especially when they're trying to, you know, still define roles for everybody, but there's no point in them having 8 relievers right now, especially when there are at least 4 of them that you don't ever feel comfortable going to unless the game's out of hand. Yeah. So I don't understand not having the extra bench guy. Really, there should be 3 guys available at this point off the bench right now. You know, with all the other guys, with Piscotty not quite back yet and Wong out. But, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand the insistence on it. But I think it's a mistake, and I don't think it makes all the difference in the world if they bring in, say, an extra outfielder, but it should make some difference, I would think.
And even if the extra outfielder is just being used like in emergency situations, it's either that or a reliever that you're not going to use anyway.
Right.
And like whenever Miguel Sokolovich, however people feel like pronouncing it at the time, whenever he was designated for assignment, and he ended up clearing waivers today, but yeah, I was okay with that move under the assumption that somebody who was going to not just be a guy in the back of the bullpen was going to come up, but like at this point, I'm just not sure what the point of it is.
I don't either. I mean, the need for like a mop-up guy is just not as great as it used to be. And that's really, you have like two or three mop-up guys. Because seriously, I mean, you have guys that no matter who you bring in a situation, if it's I mean, you can't bring Cecil in right now without anybody getting mad, unless it's like a 5-run game. Well, you don't have the luxury of pitching him in a 5-run game all the time because,
well, yesterday they did because they were down.
Well, there was that, but you know, if you really only have three or four relievers, and I'm only saying four because I'm including Lyons in there, which is that's not even a definite. That's still uncertain because he hasn't been around much.
He had kind of a rough outing tonight as well.
Yeah, so you don't really know if he is. So I mean, to be safe, there are three guys in close situations. You feel like you're okay going to, and one of them is the closer. So that leaves two for like innings 6, 7, and 8. If it's a 1-run game or a tie game, you know, you're down by a run or up by a run, and if you bring in anybody else, then you know Matheny's an idiot.
But that's what he's got.
So it would be Bowman. I don't know, maybe he's getting a little, there are one of two things happening with him. Either he's getting exposed because he's pitching so much, or he's a little fatigued because he's pitching so much.
I think it might be a little bit of both.
It might be, and the reason he's pitching so much is because you have five guys you don't feel like going to ever. So then why do you need five extra relievers? If you don't need all of them, you could put a bench player up.
Yeah.
It'd be fine. We have all the problems solved, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if they're gonna listen to us, but.
but other than these things, things are going great for the Cardinals.
Right. Other than this, everything's great. So and that's the thing. I mean, we talked about this on our show today, and I was thinking about it over the weekend that, you know, baseball, this happens every year in baseball, but it sucks that the Cubs are playing like they're playing right now, and nobody in the division is really all that good. Even Milwaukee, who leads the division, isn't all that good. So it sucks that one of the biggest reasons the Cardinals aren't like four games better is because of stuff they could totally clean up. So to me, they're missing this really great opportunity to have put a little bit of distance between themselves and the Cubs. And the reason it's a big deal is because in 2 months, when the Cubs inevitably start playing well, which they're going to. If they don't, I'll be shocked. If they don't start playing a whole lot better, I will be really surprised. So you want to have those wins in the bank so that when the Cubs start playing well, you know, you're insulated a little bit. I mean, they're going to catch up to you, but it would be nice to have an extra 4 or 5 wins in the bank right now, knowing the Cubs are probably going to pick it up here at some point. So it's just, here's this opportunity. They blew it. And it's kind of amazing that they're right around 500 right now, because I don't think they've, you know, with the exception of that, what was it, 18-6 stretch? It was about 18-6. Yeah. With the exception of that, they have not been a good team this year.
Yeah, they've been streaky. If you look at just the fact that they went on that run where they looked like they were, like there was a period for about a month or so where during that month span, they were the best team in baseball. And then other than that, though, have just not played well. And like, granted, they've last couple series, they've been playing good teams. The Dodgers are a good team. The Rockies, whether or not they can sustain what they've been, have been a good team to this point in the season. So
I'm sorry, John, but the thing about that is a lot of these losses, though, are not, oh, well, here's a team that just beat them. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dodgers just raked off their starter. And, well, of course, a lot of these losses are games that they really very easily should have won. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And I think that's where the frustration is. It's not that they're necessarily just getting beat all the time, which does happen, but it's that they have real opportunities and they do dumb stuff in the middle of the game, or mistakes happen that shouldn't happen, and then they lose. That's when it gets really irritating.
Or the bullpen will come in and blow the lead. Or I know that they trailed the Rockies 4-3. Sunday, and then the bullpen came in and gave up like 5 runs.
Yeah.
And then DeJong hit a home run that would have tied the game, but of course it was off of Holland even. It would have tied the game, but it wasn't a tie game anymore, or it wasn't a 1-run lead anymore. So
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, Sunday was a particularly frustrating game, I thought, and it was interesting because one of the main moments, I guess you could call it a highlight of the Sunday game, almost sort of prophesized what happened in baseball the next day, which was Gerardo Parra, who not exactly a noted power hitter, but he had a home run off Lance Lynn, and there was a lot of talk during the broadcast about him like showboating, and it wasn't like a bat flip, but sort of carried the bat a little bit while he was going around the bases, sort of a very slow, casual, out of the box, and then there was like calls on the broadcast of like possible retaliation, which I was glad they did not do. They instead proceeded to try to get the guy out, which I am in favor of just trying to get guys out. But then with the incident yesterday with Hunter Strickland throwing at Bryce Harper charging the mound, they both got suspended. Some people making fun of Buster Posey for not intervening, but Buster Posey's playing in the next games, so.
Yeah, forget all that, man. I am so anti-baseball police. I don't know. I mean, I think I used to kind of think that way. I had more of an older school thing, but then I learned things. And so then I stopped being that because it just, I mean, like the old school thing, some of it is kind of interesting and fun, I guess, but a lot of it's just total bullshit. So I'd prefer if, you know, he tries to get Buster Posey out or Bryce Harper out, try to get him out instead, maybe, because it's only a 2-run game at that point.
Yeah.
But no, let's put him on base and start a brawl because I'm mad about some shit that happened 3 years ago because I can't get you out. it's so damn ridiculous. And from what I understand, Posey probably was told not to get in, you know, get involved in a brawl. Well, of course not. Guy just came off a concussion and, you know, he's got the ankle. I think they would rather him not get injured again. and if anybody, like if there's, and I heard a lot of people that were like, you know what, he's my teammate. I want him out there. I'm like, you know what, if there are any Giants players that are upset with him and I'm Buster Posey, I'm like, hey guys, I'm sorry you're upset. I didn't get involved on the field, but if you all dumbasses want to get involved in the offense that I'm carrying right now, you can join me anytime you want because that guy is like, his OPS is 960. That's how he's being a good teammate. His OPS is 960. What are you doing? You bums. Why don't you get involved in the offense and then we'll talk about who's a good teammate or not.
Yeah, the analogy I've used for Buster Posey here is it's one thing to stick up for your teammate if he's, like, in the right. Like, if this was a pitch that just kind of got away and it weren't clearly being directed at Bryce Harper as retribution for Bryce Harper doing well off of him 3 years ago, not even for any kind of, like, violent interaction, then, yeah, I think I can see the argument for the player stepping up. But, like, if I have a friend of mine that somebody's, you know, like a bar fight with them, they're trying to pick on them, they're just harassing them for no good reason, yeah, I'm willing to step up for my friend. But if my friend's going around just trying to pick a fight with the biggest, toughest guy he sees, like dude, you're on your own for this one. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get clobbered based on, you know, your own stupidity.
And Hunter Strickland is not a little guy. So, you know what? If he wants to start shit, you let him. You know what? You go figure it out, pal. This is, and you know that Buster Posey remembers those home runs that he gave up in the division series 3 years ago. He remembers those because he watched them leave. So he knows exactly what that's all about. He knows.
Yeah.
So he's standing back there like, yeah, go ahead. You take care of this, you dummy.
Yeah. And Hunter Strickland has a history of this, too. It was in the World Series in 2014, I guess it was. Yeah. Where he gave up a home run to Sal Perez and he started jawing at him basically because he was upset that he was losing. And at that point, Buster Posey was at least willing. He wasn't like physically restraining him or getting into a fight for him, but he was kind of like holding him back. But I think 3 years later, he's like, dude, you're going to have to probably, get roughed up a little bit and learn a lesson out of this because you're not going to learn it otherwise.
I have no problem with what Posey, even if Posey was not told, was not explicitly told to stay away from getting into brawls, even if he was not, you know, given that directive, I am 100% fine with what he did.
Yeah, like I don't want to pick sides too strongly on Strickland versus Harper because I think they both acted not in the best way. I don't, like, even if you're getting thrown at, charging the mound's not the best. But if I had to pick a side, I would side with Harper because, Like, you can't be throwing at people. Like, an analogy I heard from a friend of mine was, if a batter had complete control over where a batted ball could go and directed it specifically at a pitcher, nobody would stand for it. And yet, when it happens the other way around, people are willing to look the other way just because it's sort of the way it's been. But, yeah. I'm glad that the Cardinals didn't decide to go for the vigilante justice route on Sunday and instead just tried to pitch well. Granted, they did not succeed at pitching well, but...
They tried.
Yeah, I think trying is the first step. I mean, as Homer Simpson once said, trying is the first step towards failure, but it also can be the first step towards being good at baseball, which hopefully the Cardinals will be in the hopefully not too distant future. But I think we've exhausted Cardinals topics. Our cynicism has really poured out of our souls at this point.
Well, it's a podcast. You have to be cynical. Like that's the thing is that if you're doing a blog or a podcast, it's a requirement. You have to have a good deal of cynicism in you.
Yeah, I think cynicism as an overall tone is a good idea, but I also don't want to be so cynical about every single thing that it loses all effect.
And
right.
I'm not really
Heather's the non-cynic of the blog.
I guess I'm like the comic relief of the blog type of thing. I come in to lighten the moods that the cynicism really hits hard following me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like someone
somebody's got to be pleasant.
Yeah, like... You know how they always like tell a joke and then the really sad thing happens because the joke makes the sad thing even sadder type of sort of film comparison?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I mean,
right, so then you're the funny person and then somebody else writes something really sad and just destroys it.
Yeah, exactly.
I maintain the analogy that in our podcast, I'm Chuck D and she's Flavor Flav. I'm just like having a very serious sort of, you know.
Oh, so Heather's, you're the hype man.
Yeah, that's what you called me, the hype man.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I am.
Yeah, which somebody needs to do it. Somebody needs to sort of lighten up the occasionally overly heavy side. But so speaking of roles in a broadcast, hey, that's a pretty good transition, right?
Yeah
very well done.
Every once in a while, I have a good one. But as we mentioned before, you're on 101, co-hosting the Fast Lane with Randy Carricker and Brad Thompson. The two of them have been on radio in St. Louis longer than you have. Randy Carricker has been on the radio, I'm pretty sure, since before I was born. As long as I can remember, I've listened to him on the radio. And you know, Brad's not been around as long, but he's got a couple of years under his belt. Where do you feel like with the new trio, you sort of have a role within the system, as it were?
I don't know. I mean, I still feel pretty equal. That's kind of what they wanted to do, was have it like an equal three-part thing. But I'm not afraid to challenge them. Like if they, cause there've been a lot of times we've disagreed and I think BT gets a little mad cause he's not used to somebody disagreeing. And I'm not doing it just to disagree. I don't do that. I'm not like one of those people that I'm gonna skip Bayless you and disagree with you just because that's the way you're supposed to do it. But I just don't see things exactly like both of them see it. And you know, they both get it. I think it's new for Brad because he hasn't really experienced it, but Randy's been around a long time and he knows. It's not that BT hates it or anything. He's not quite used to it. But we all, I think, get along great. And I think the dynamic works, but I guess I still, I don't know. I kind of see myself like, I mean, I feel like an equal, but I feel like the third equal because those two guys have been around. I'm comfortable letting them, you know, I mean, let them have their thoughts first because people are used to them. And, you know, most people here don't have any idea about me at all. And you know, that's fine with me. Like I'm more than comfortable just waiting to kind of build that up. People get used to you after a while, but I mean, I guess like I feel like we're equal, but you know, I'm more than happy to just go third. You know what I mean? Like you guys eat first, and then I will take whatever's left over. It is kind of how I see it. But they've been doing a good show for a long time without me. And, you know, I'm just an addition to that. And, you know, I think it's working well. I get along with both of them really, really well. And Randy, I actually know because I interned for him at KMOX.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, he hired me so as an intern. And so that was a long time ago. But he remembered. Well, he said he remembered. I don't know if he did. But I like the dynamic. I like those two guys. They're great. I mean, BT is, you know, he's younger than me, but he's got like this. He's so damn old school, which I guess isn't unusual because you have a lot of mid-20s players who are also really old school when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's the only sport that's like that, where you have 19-year-old guys who are old school ball players because, that's how they were raised playing the game. So he's still very much like that. Randy is to an extent because he is old. The guy's like 90. So, you know, that's just – that's how they are, and I'm not quite that, you know. I'm not quite with them in terms of that stuff. So I think in that way, like, the personalities work well together, because if you have three people who are always agreeing on everything, that is just super boring. And it's not like we're trying to disagree just to disagree. It's just, you know, we a lot of times have naturally different opinions, and that's, I think, what works best.
Yeah, I think that in my experience, because I listened to the Fastlane before you were on, and I've listened to it since, and I think that the dynamic really works well because you're somebody who does differ a lot from Randy and Brad, where it's not like, I think the two of them tend to have sort of their own thing and tend to be very jokey and loose, and it's great. I'm glad they have that, but I also like that there's somebody who's able to step in and disagree with them, and it's not just sort of, you know, a collection of people just agreeing with each other, because that is boring. You don't want disagreement, as you said, just for the sake of disagreement, but you also
right.
want some sort of dialogue and some sort of discussion. And I would definitely encourage anybody who's listening to this podcast, maybe who listened to Sports Talk in the past and doesn't do it anymore, to, you know, check out the Fastlane, just because I think that you guys are doing something that really I haven't heard on local sports talking about, which is a mix of, you have people who are more statistically inclined. You have people who are, you know, ex-players. And, of course, you have Randy Carricker, who's been around for as long as I can remember on the radio. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have that mix of people. But as I mentioned before, prior to working at 101, you were in Chicago. What was your role in Chicago, for those unfamiliar?
So I was there for 14 years, a little over 14 years. I did when I first got there I was just an anchor, you know, doing updates, top and bottom of the hour sort of thing, and then eventually kind of mixed into filling in at host. And then we got the contract for the White Sox in 2006, and I started doing pre and post game for them. So I went from this is totally true. And when the 2004 World Series happened, I was super really into it, and then totally bummed when the Cardinals got swept. In 2005, the White Sox won, and that was a really fun time in Chicago. And I'd always, you know, had an affinity for the White Sox because, you know, they weren't a rival of the Cardinals, and I grew up a Cardinals fan, so it was kind of easy to enjoy them too. And I had a lot of friends who were Sox fans, so I got to enjoy the 2005 World Series. And then in 2006, I started doing their pre and post game coverage on the radio flagship. And, of course, that's the year the Cardinals won the World Series, and I didn't give – like, I did not care at all. It was the most amazing thing, because you get involved with, like – you know, you're attached to a team. You interview the players every day. You know the coaches. You know the manager. You know the organization. And so you start to naturally root for them, and it's very difficult to root for anybody else because, you know, I was super disappointed the White Sox didn't make the World Series in 2006 because they were – a 90-win team. They had just won the year before. I was wanting that, and then I was really hoping that maybe I would have gotten a ring, which I don't know. I would, but I really wanted all that, you know. And then the Cardinals won, and I'm thinking, you've got to be bleeping me, man! Like, of course they win in 2006 when I don't really care anymore because I'm so invested in this other team. Of course this would happen, and so I did. You know, in fact, I remember, like, I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I watched the final out happen. We were sitting in my apartment. She fell asleep on the couch. And my only reaction was, well, how about that? Like, that's all I had. I couldn't even celebrate. I just I was so disappointed from, you know, the way things worked out with the Sox. But anyway, so I did the White Sox stuff for 10 years. And then, you know, I did some play-by-play. I would fill in on occasion, some color commentary on occasion. But mostly it was just doing the pre- and post-game stuff. And then when the White Sox went to WLS, I was on the Score in Chicago, which is now the Cubs station. So we got the contract for the Cubs in 2016, last year. And the White Sox went to a new station. I decided to stay where I was. I just, you know, I liked my setup. I liked that I had weekends off for a change. And I was like, I'm just gonna stay where I'm at. So I was doing that for a while. And then the thing about, I don't know how much people really care, but there was some family stuff that happened last year. My dad got sick and he passed away. And so my mom is still here. And then this like a month or two later, this job, because DeMarco Farr left the show. And they had an opening, and I saw it, and I was like, you know what? Let's see what it's about. You know, I'll put my stuff in and see if they have any interest, and if they do, we'll talk, and if it's a good fit, then you know, we'll go from there. But I really kind of figured I was going to stay in Chicago, but then this thing came up, and everything did feel right. I got to be closer to, you know, my family, and it just it worked out nicely, I think. So. It's different. It's an adjustment to be here, but it's, you know, it's good to be here as well.
Yeah, it was interesting that you brought up your apathy during the 06 World Series. I actually just had a post go up yesterday where I was just describing my Cardinals fandom, the things that, you know, led me to being a fan, which was mostly I grew up here, so what else was I going to do? But
right.
Like 06, though, I kind of checked out a little bit. Like 04 and 05, I was super into it. They won 105 in 100 games, and I was just like gung-ho, and then 06, it was during my senior year of high school, so I was kind of hitting that phase of, like, not caring about anything because I was, just, like, yeah. Totally focused on myself. And then, like, an 83-win Cardinals team. Like, one of my enduring memories of 06 besides the playoffs was actually a series against the White Sox. I think it was in June where they just got absolutely destroyed.
I remember.
In Chicago, yeah. It was totally an unpleasant experience.
It was like a... It was like a Friday, Saturday, and they were both, like, 10-run games, yeah. And then the third game was, I think, 1-0.
Yeah, but I don't even think I watched the third game of the series because the first two were so demoralizing. But but regardless, though, it's good to have you back in the fold because eventually I got back into the fold, and Heather does not have a cynical bone in her body, so therefore, once she was on board forever, I think. So
that's good.
Like, no disagreement there. But
it's pretty much it. This is why I'm a
She's
dog
so
person.
Pleasant.
Thanks.
I mean, someone has Jeez. To be pleasant on this podcast, and it's not going to be me, so we'll okay. Let Heather handle that.
That's my shtick. Annoyingly pleasant.
No, I mean, that's why she's got a happy yellow lab running around the house. Like, that's her entire... It's not even a shtick, it's just it's who she is.
Oh, yeah, this is not an act. Like, I feel like whenever... Like, I knew Heather basically through her online persona before I actually met her in person, and... I remember thinking, like, there's no way she's actually, like, this chipper. Like, I'm going to meet her, and she's going to just be, like, really, like, sulking. And no, she's actually way more upbeat. It's frankly annoying, but that's but that's an aside. Now, of course, like, a majority of your time in Chicago, you mentioned you were working with the White Sox working on the White Sox beat, I should say. Not literally, but being on the flagship station for them and... Then the Cubs came around. What do you think is the main difference, like, in the fan cultures between the White Sox and the Cubs? Because I know, like, the stereotype in St. Louis, at least as far as I know it, is that the Cubs are, like, the popular team in, like, the, like, outside of Chicago, like, more regionally popular, but the White Sox have a very hardcore fan base. It's just a less spread out group, and that's probably the White Sox fans hate the Cubs more than vice versa.
Yes, that part is definitely true. The Cubs fan, I told this to a friend of mine the other day, actually, that the way I view it, it seems like Cubs fans look at the Cardinals the way White Sox fans look at the Cubs. Like, there's this resentment for different reasons. I think Cubs fans resent Cardinals and all the championships and all that stuff and all the winning because they... You know, they live in Chicago, and Chicago is an awesome city. I love it there. and they think, you know, I'm from this town. This the Cubs are here in this wonderful cosmopolitan city, and it's this crappy town that's got like 3 million people in it down south, and they have all the championships and we don't. Like, I think there's a resentment there, that at least that's how they see it. And for the White Sox, I think they're just jealous. They're just jealous the Cubs get all the attention, which is kind of what happens. In fact, I mean, it's probably not something you would have picked up on, but there have been three different times.
Oh, I know where you're going, and I picked up on it.
Oh, in the last 8 months, where like ESPN or some national outlet has mentioned Chicago championships or like baseball championships, and the 05 White Sox team like is just totally omitted. Like, they don't even acknowledge it. And Sox fans are like, come on, man. I mean, like, how are you going to not even remember that we did this? And, you know, it happened locally too one time, and I don't remember the specific example, but, you know, White Sox fans take that stuff hard, because the whole dynamic is, Well, this is the perception. Sox fans have this perception of the Cubs, that they don't really care. Fan base doesn't really care. They're just there to drink and go to Wrigley Field and have a good time and then go to the bars in Wrigleyville afterwards, and that's all they care about. They don't care about the team. Meanwhile, I'm a diehard. I follow the White Sox. We're, you know, it's a tougher part of town, and, you know, like, we're real baseball fans because we go there for the baseball, and that's all we care about, because we don't need all that other crap. And, like, that's kind of... that's how White Sox fans see it. But a lot of Cubs fans just kind of dismiss the Sox altogether. They don't really, you know, they don't really care all that much, I don't think.
Yeah, I've known way more Cubs fans in my life than I have White Sox fans. There's one specific person I went to college with, I think, of with the White Sox. And like the Cardinals were like her de facto number two team, because she just hated the Cubs so much. And she knew that.
Yep.
And it was, to a sense, it was the same way with people I knew who were from Kansas City, where... and this was back when the Royals were bad, which, I mean, I know they're bad now, but, like, back before the Royals had their run of making the World Series 2 years in a row, where their number two team was the Cubs, just despite the Cardinals. And
yep.
There's a lot of that. So there's a lot of little brother syndrome running around all throughout the Midwest. And it's a little bit sad, but it's also fun, so...
Well, the truth is that I think that – but all fan bases do this, where they say, you know, we're better fans. We really just care about the team, and no other fan base cares about their team like we care about ours. But that's not true. I mean, every fan base has – even the Rays have some diehards, you know?
Oh, I've taken the stance on this podcast that the Rays are the best fans in baseball, because they go to a horrible stadium. They watch a boring team, and
– wait, was it the Rays or the A's?
I don't remember. It was one of the two.
It could be like, both.
Yeah. They both apply, really.
But they're both fan bases.
One's threatening to move a bunch of times.
The A's are, especially, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, they're both fan bases. They're just fewer fans, but the ones that are there, you know, put up with it. And that was always my thing whenever I was rooting for the Rams. It was like, well, yeah, there aren't as many fans, but we're kind of, you know, being run through the ringer here. You got to give us some credit.
No, I agree with you. I think that you can find... I think pretty much every fan base, there might be more fans. I think there are, in the Cubs White Sox example, there are just more Cubs fans.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason there are more Cubs fans than Sox fans is for the same reason there are so many Cardinals fans in the country. And that's because at one time in history, the Cardinals were the only team west, or the furthest team west. And you could get KMOX in like all these states, you know, you can pick it up in Colorado and Arkansas and so Louisiana. And so all these people in all those states, their baseball team was the Cardinals, whereas the Cubs had WGN, the TV station. And if you had cable in like the late 80s, early 90s, you could watch Cubs games. They were on TV. No matter where you were in the country, you could watch the Cubs play. And then they started to do a really good job marketing their ballpark, and you know, that helped them out a lot, too. So you have Cubs fans all over the place. But there are, you know, the very, very good Cubs fan is just as good as the very, very good White Sox fan, and the same as a very good Cardinals fan. You know, there are, I think people like to look at themselves as better than everybody else, but that's just the nature of being a fan. The truth is that we're all about the same. But maybe there are some fan bases that have a few more dicks in it, but then others... But for the most part, we're all about the same, really. When you get down to the heart of it, there just might be a greater percentage of the fans. But, you know, I think the dynamic is all pretty equal.
Yeah. All right. So this episode's going longer than I was expecting, but it's been a good time. But
you got somewhere else to go?
I absolutely do not. I can promise you that. But I have one important sort of series of questions. But because you know, we mentioned you're from St. Louis, correct? Like you lived in St. Louis up until you went to Chicago. Is that correct?
I lived in Granite City. Okay. I grew up in Granite City. Yeah, I went to Granite City High School, and then my parents were living in Edwardsville when I graduated college, and I came back and lived in Edwardsville with them for about a year, and then I went back to Chicago. Yeah.
I like that Heather Yad Edwardsville, like she's from Edwardsville.
I'm from close to Edwardsville.
No, you're not.
What is close to Edwardsville?
Calhoun County in Illinois.
Oh, that's, yeah, okay.
Which, to be fair, where I'm from, if you're like within an hour of it, you're close to it. Like, we're close to Alton, which is a bit north.
Oh, but you would rather claim Edwardsville because it's nicer?
No, I just claim Edwardsville because...
She claims both.
Because you said it.
Yeah,
okay.
If you would have said Alton, I would have said, yeah, Alton.
She'll claim whatever is being thrown her way if it's a town that people have actually heard of.
Yes, exactly.
Brussels, Illinois. I took the Amtrak from Alton up to... Well, before I had a car in college, that's what I would take to get to school.
Yeah.
All right, so but we have to take sort of your evaluations of St. Louis and Chicago because you've lived in both for long periods of time, and people, of course, like to compare St. Louis and Chicago, mostly St. Louisans, granted. I think Chicagoans pretty much feel like they've won this, which which maybe they have. We'll see how you go.
Chicagoans
have an inferiority complex when it comes to the cities bigger than they are. Los Angeles and New York, and they like to complain about New York because they feel so inferior, and I'm like, why? Just be happy. This town is great. Just be happy with what you are.
I'll be the first person to admit that St. Louis has an inferiority complex towards Chicago, but also Kansas City does towards St. Louis. Like they just
that's a really
definitely. Like especially because I went to a college that was basically midway between Kansas City and St. Louis, so all the Kansas City people would like have this huge spite towards the St. Louis sports teams, and I was just like, dude, I don't care about the Royals or Chiefs at all. Like, if they do well, that's fine. If they don't, I just don't care. But we have to evaluate those St. Louis and Chicago based on different criteria. So,
very important criteria.
Okay,
let's go.
The first, I think, is one of the more obvious ones. Who has the better pizza?
Well, it's Chicago. I'm sorry. It is.
Call that a pizza, of course.
I don't have a strong preference between the two. I like pizza in general.
Had Lou Malnati's?
No, I'm not cultured at all. I've had like
Emo's,
low quality Chicago style. And
all right, if for whatever reason you make it up there, if you don't go to Lou Malnati's, and I find out you've been there and you didn't go there, I will burn your house down.
Well, luckily, I don't have a house, so...
Or your apartment. And all the other people that live there are going to have to suffer the consequences of your actions because you didn't have the pizza. The Lou Malnati's is actually... It's really, really good. I'm more of a fan of the New York-style pizza than anything.
Yes.
I generally agree with that one, too, yeah.
Yeah, but if I in Chicago, if I have to have it, I'm going to lose. It's fantastic. It's really, really damn good.
Yeah, I generally defer towards Chicago, I guess, over St. Louis style pizza just because there's more of it. But really, it's pizza. I'm like the people that just miss St. Louis style pizza, I don't think have actually tried it.
Oh no, I am tired of all the people I know from Chicago that crap all over Emo's.
Emo's is good. It's expensive, but it's good.
I like Emo's. It's different. It's not like, you know, just it isn't the same. It isn't like Chicago pizza. So everybody I know from Chicago hates it, and they cannot wait to talk about how bad it is. But I like it.
Well, people in St. Louis do the same thing with deep dish, and it's just
it's not a pizza.
It's pizza. It's all pizza. I don't care. I like it.
It's like that Jon Stewart. Not a pizza, a casserole, whatever he does.
Oh, yes, a casserole. That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
I feel like this is just like an extension of the hot dog sandwich thing. I just, whatever. I'm so sick of this.
Oh, I can't have that discussion, like, ever. I refuse to get involved in it.
We'll come to blows over this, but okay. So the next category is a little bit more general, but just basically think of like your favorite St. Louis cuisine thing other than the pizza versus like anything that's ubiquitously Chicago, whether it's food or like, you know, beer or anything like that. Like, just arbitrarily assign one a victory in this one.
You want me to assign St. Louis a victory?
No, assign whoever you think deserves a victory.
Okay.
Well, if you want to keep it close, but it's up to you.
Are you talking about like all food and all beer, or just is there a particular food item?
The I'm not exactly. Cuisine scene, I guess.
Oh, the cuisine scene.
Just non-pizza division.
Yeah, non-pizza cuisine.
Non-pizza division. I always thought growing up here that the food here, the great food that was available is totally underrated, because there are so many great Italian restaurants, for example, mm-hmm. in this city. And there was a whole thing that Piazza made the comment about, like, can't find a good Italian meal. Yeah, okay, dummy. Like, so you've never been out here. There's so much great Italian food.
He retracted that statement as soon as Nelly got a hold of him.
Well, because he's oh yeah, that's right. Did he see him at an airport?
he found him at a bar or something, and he was like, "What did you say about our food?" And he was like, "I didn't mean it. I swear." That's right. That's what I thought, Piazza.
That's right. That's but I think the food here is underrated for what the city is. It's not like New York with millions of restaurants, but there's still really good stuff here. I think though that probably overall the scene in Chicago is better, but it's just by virtue of there being more of it. Mm-hmm. There's so many more damn options. It's like not even and that goes for just about everything. You know, entertainment, food. There's so much that's so different, and it's all close enough. You know, the thing about St. Louis is there are great restaurants, but you have to go here for this one particular thing, and then you have to drive like 25 minutes somewhere else if you want to get the best of this other thing over here. The best barbecue is here. Best Italian place is here. Oh, you want the best Chinese food? That's a half hour that way.
How many meals are you having in one day that you need to be bouncing from one to the next?
Oh, it's called what's it called? A bang bang? Was that Louis C.K.? You guys watch the show, Louis?
I've seen it, but I don't know it well enough to.
There was an episode where he's with a fellow comedian, and they did I think they called it a bang bang, where they had a full dinner, and then they left dinner, and they went somewhere else and had another full dinner. I don't know. I've never done that, but
sounds like my
but thing. I'm saying, like, if you you know, if you want to find all these restaurants, you have to drive to get to them. And I guess that doesn't really matter if you're not all doing it in one sitting. But the point is, like, you can go to one neighborhood in Chicago, and all this stuff is really close. And there are 15, 20 neighborhoods that are all pretty close, and they all have great stuff in them. So I'd say just by sheer volume, there's more up there, but there's a lot of really great stuff down here too.
All right, so that one, it sounds like it's a closer one, but still edge to Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. That's
yeah.
That's
I mean, fun. I'm not dissatisfied here, because anything you want, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get better barbecue here than up there for sure. Mm-hmm. Like that's one thing that no question you will get here better than you will get up there. But everything else, if it's not better up there, it'll be as good as what you find here.
Yeah, I'm a huge cape for St. Louis beer. Like people associate St. Louis beer with like Anheuser-Busch, but there's so much more to it. And people will not give us credit because they'll just think of AB. But
right.
I was hoping to get a steal there for St. Louis, but well it's your choice.
Yeah, I can't really tell you because I am not I'm not much of a craft beer guy. I guess I'm getting more open to it, but I've always just been, you know, when it comes to beer, it's just a vehicle for the alcohol. So I don't really care about how it tastes.
See, like, I write for a sports blog, so I'm like contractually obligated to be a craft beer snob.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I like if any sports writer. I think being a baseball writer, you basically nowadays have to be a craft beer person.
Yeah, I don't think I like Springsteen enough to quite be into the full
sports
writer thing, but yeah, go full stereotypes. But
get back to me when you go to a show, and then like I don't really Springsteen doesn't do anything for me either, but whatever.
I mean, he's fine. I'm not anti Springsteen. Yeah, exactly. It just isn't like something that I get super excited about. But to go on the music.
If it makes you feel better, I like Bud Light. I'm a big Bud Light, Bud Select person. I'm totally okay with Anheuser-Busch products. And I love 312, which is Goose Island.
312 is and good, now, yeah.
That's 312, of course. Yeah, now, well, now it's a, it's an Anheuser-Busch yeah. product. Yep.
True. Okay, so to go on, to keep on the music that we were discussing with Springsteen, who has the better rappers?
I love Chance.
Oof.
Chance is my guy. He's great. I really, really like him.
And so it sounds like you're going to Chicago then.
Well, it's two different eras though now. Here's the problem. Because you had Nelly from like 17 years ago. And now you've got Chance. And they're different. Nelly blew up a little bigger than I thought he was going to. And at the time I thought it was awesome because holy crap, we have somebody from St. Louis who's like seriously big time. And this is amazing. So I was really on board with Nelly, but...
Nelly defined that genre. He's almost not even... He's almost his own genre in and of himself. That's what I say. My claim to fame is he made, like, the almost, like, Midwestern rap a thing.
People don't like my opinions on Nelly. I feel like I should keep them quiet.
What are your opinions?
He's anti-Nelly.
Yes, I am.
Why are you anti? What's anti about?
Because he doesn't like anything good and pure in this world.
I don't get it. I just don't.
like anything pure.
Like I'll freely admit that.
How can you not dance to Hot in Here? How?
Easily. It's very easy for me, actually.
Do you know why I think, for me, why I don't immediately jump to Nelly is because I've heard it so much.
That's true. And fair.
And we use it on the fast lane. We use a couple songs on the fast lane for like music beds, and that's fine. I like him, but it's like I've heard it so much, and then maybe that's why I'm kind of leaning toward Chance right now because Chance is common is pretty damn good. Oh damn it, I forgot about Kanye. I'm sorry.
I gotta go with Chicago. Yeah,
I have to go with Chicago. I love Nelly. I like him. And I love what he did for this city at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Kanye, as much of a miserable bastard as Kanye is, that dude is brilliant. And I know he knows he's brilliant, and that makes it suck. Because when you have a person who's beautiful and they know they're good looking, it sucks when they know they're good looking. But it's you can't get around it. The guy's really good. It just sucks that he's with a Kardashian because it makes him more insufferable. But his music is awesome.
Fair.
Yeah, I would have voted Chicago as well. But as we mentioned before, my vouching for St. Louis would be me like getting excited about Jaquan after like 12,
Murphy, yeah, Murphy Lee.
Like 15 years after his one
Murphy
hit.
Lee.
Oh my gosh. But no one knows who Murphy Lee is outside of St. Louis. That's purely a local thing.
Yeah. He's a lunatic though, right?
Lunatic.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Chicago rap scene is better. It's not like
it's deeper. There's more people.
Right.
I'll admit it, but I can never go against Nelly.
How do you feel about Chance?
I love Chance, but I can't do it. Can't do it.
He was just here and I missed the damn show 2 weeks ago. He's at Scott Trade.
Yeah, I like Chance, but I'm a Kanye kid because basically I'm like a few years behind on any sort of musical trend, so therefore I'm still stuck in like Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy sort of era musically. God. So
That's a great album.
Oh yeah, I listen to it like at least once a week.
As a producer, he can do his own stuff and it's great. He's not asking somebody else to create beats for him and then just buying them. You know, he's like actually doing a lot of that stuff himself. Not all of it, but he can and it's good.
Yeah, in terms of technical rapping, he's not the best ever by any means. But like as far as complete product, he's way up there for me. But it's sort of an extension, though, of that, because Nelly, as much as I'm not a fan of Nelly's music, he certainly seems like a nice guy and does a lot as far as promoting St. Louis. Certainly he's one of the bigger celebrity fans, along with John Hamm. Who has the better celebrity fans between Chicago and St. Louis?
Because
Chicago basically has, like, Jim Belushi and Bill Murray.
They have Vince Vaughn, too.
Yeah.
You could probably, I don't know, Eddie Vedder might be a reach because I think
he's not from Chicago, though.
No, but I think he lived in Evanston for a minute.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Which is like 20 minutes north. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a stretch to include him, but you could.
I also don't like Pearl Jam, though, so that also throws into my...
You don't? That's okay.
Have, Jenna Fischer too.
Kind of.
Whoever, Pam from The Office.
Yeah, but she roots for the Cowboys, so I feel like she loses credibility there. Sorry.
Isn't she from St. Louis?
Yes.
Okay, counts.
Okay, that's fine. I like John Hamm a lot, so I might be inclined to leave. So what else? Who is it? Kevin Kline, John Hamm. Is Billy Bob from here, or does he just from, like the Cardinals?
He's from Arkansas, so he's within the
from
Cardinals.
Arkansas. Eh, that doesn't count.
Point.
What's Ashley Judd? Where's she from?
She's from Kentucky. Her main fandom's Kentucky Wildcats, though.
Yeah, she was a cheerleader there, right?
I don't know that she ever was actually a cheerleader, but she's at enough games where she probably qualifies as one.
Well, she's, de facto. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I'm going to miss somebody. But see, you have to include Nelly, and you have to include Chance and Kanye into the celebrity thing, because they're musicians and they're celebrities. So it might still go to Jim Belushi is useless. He is absolutely useless.
Correct.
That is a useless celebrity that does nothing for me. And most people, by the way, a lot of people up there agree.
This is the one category where I think Chicago might concede because of how unpopular Jim Belushi is. And it's almost overdone, but yeah, whatever.
What about dead celebrities? Do they count?
I think so.
I was like, who are we talking about? Are we talking about John Belushi, or are we talking about...
John Belushi counts.
I really saw him in, like, Chicago sports. Like, maybe he was, but...
Bill Murray. Chicago has Bill Murray.
Yeah, I don't necessarily consider that a positive, but...
Oh, you don't like Bill Murray?
I mean, I like his work, but I find his constant need for attention a little bit much.
I will agree with you there. He's a little overexposed.
What else does St. Louis have?
St. Louis does not have a great roster, but the ones we do have are really like legitimately into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have John Hamm at the Wrigley game during the World Series or NLCS.
Wearing a Cardinals hat.
Cardinals hat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think is there anybody else?
I feel like there should be more, but I can't think of any.
You know, just because I'm going to not include music in this one, and I'm going to give it to St. Louis just because I love John Hamm.
Woo!
I'm glad St. Louis isn't going to get shut out, so that's a...
Yeah. I'm going to go, hey, I love Chicago. I love it here, too, though. This is my home, you know? Mm-hmm. I grew up here, so I'd have to even if I didn't, but I do. But I'm still gonna go with John Hamm because John Hamm is fantastic.
Good deal. We have one more round, and Chicago's gonna win this regardless, but this round will determine whether it's close or whether Chicago just wins in a blowout.
Okay.
It's basically sort of the traffic scenario. Now obviously St. Louis has less traffic than Chicago, but also St. Louis has less developed public transport. So just generally, where would you rather be a pedestrian, or I guess that's not the right word. Where would you rather be a commuter in? Chicago or St. Louis?
I am going to go with Chicago again on this one just because I used to make use of the transportation and it's so convenient and I loved it. And I didn't have to worry about, you know, driving anywhere and getting stuck. See, the traffic there is brutal. And it's like if you're in the car and you have somewhere to be and you're actually driving, you get angry. You get physically angry, and your body hurts because you're so mad. But I didn't have to do it. Like I when I went to work, I got on the L, and it was right behind my house. And it was loud, but I totally got used to it. So, you know, it's almost like you don't even hear it go by anymore. And sometimes when you do hear it go by, it's comforting because it's like, oh, there's stuff happening behind me. So I would take the L, get to work in like 15-20 minutes. It was great. I didn't have to drive. I didn't have to deal with parking. It was fantastic. I loved it. I love making use of public transportation if I can.
Yeah, I do as well, but unfortunately I'm not really in an area where it's particularly conducive.
No.
And Heather even less so than I am, but
I'm a driver though. I prefer to drive than have someone else drive me. So I don't think I would like public transportation. I'd rather be someplace where I can drive and I don't get angry when I have to drive.
You say, I don't think I'd like public transportation, like you've literally never used public transportation before. Surely you've been on, like, a bus or you've been on Metrolink or something.
I've been on the Metrolink and I hated it. I hated it with every fiber of my being. Hated it.
See, I actually like Metrolink, but I also have to drive, like, 20 minutes to get to a Metrolink station, so it completely defeats the purpose for me.
That's the thing. You have to drive to get the public transportation here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's insanity.
Well, it's also just a matter of St. Louis area being so spread out that, yeah, that's the unfortunate side effect. But looks like in a 4-1 score, Chicago wins your heart. And for some reason, you moved down here even so.
We could cherry pick the questions here. Like,
yeah, you really did.
Toasted ravioli?
Oh, well, that's totally here.
Yeah. Who is the best gooey butter cake?
I think it's only here. So here.
Yeah.
There you go. 4-4.
See, I don't care for toasted. Yeah. I don't really care for toasted ravioli, but
we still lost.
But the gooey butter cake, I don't get why people hate on that. Like at that point, you're just picking on everything about St. Louis. Like, what's there not to like about a gooey butter cake, really?
Mm-hmm. The diabetes, probably.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's the loudest I've ever heard Heather laugh in my life. But you're not wrong.
That's it.
But
that's the only reason not to like it is that you'll end up with diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah. as soon as you eat it. But it is good. I mean, you're not wrong on that. There's a lot here. It's just it's different. It's not. I wouldn't say that Chicago is better. It's just different. I mean, there's and it depends. I guess I'm more of a I like fast paced stuff and
right.
I like being in areas where there's bustle, and that's why I decided to live in the I'm in the Central West End. That's why I like the neighborhood is because I feel like it's as close to being busy as possible in this area, and I enjoy that. I enjoy there being a little bit of a crowd of like being able to walk somewhere, walk a block, and you're in the middle of some kind of action. I really like that.
Yeah, I'm like the opposite. I'm like as far into the country as you can get without leaving civilization.
And it's so weird because you're maybe that's why you're so pleasant because you're not around enough people.
Yeah. I'm just around dogs all the time and so I just take on a dog personality.
You're like, "Oh, these dogs are so pleasant. That's what everybody must be like."
Yes.
You're in a hometown of like 100 people, so therefore
it was 80.
You don't actually see people, so therefore assume the best of them. But
What's going on with you rubes out there with your 80 people in your town?
Well, it's not a town. It's an unincorporated, it's a village. A village.
Even a village?
Yeah.
Do you have huts out there?
We have a school, even. But it's
really?
It consists of like 4 towns. Yeah, I had 21 in my graduating class.
Do you have roads?
Kind of.
Paved? Or?
Paved.
We just got a concrete road maybe two summers ago or last summer. It only stretches for about 500 feet, but it was the best thing that happened to the town.
Do the horse carriages pull over for you so you can get by, or do you have to wait for them?
We don't have any horse carriages, fortunately.
No, with the big safety orange triangles on the back?
No, that's just so you don't hit like them? Hannibal or Arthur.
Oh.
That's in the more urban areas is what she's saying. They haven't quite developed the horse.
The urban areas. That sounds good.
All right. I think that's a good note to start to wrap up on. Thank you very much to Chris Ranji of 101 ESPN for joining us. Before we let you go, where can people find you and your work? And then obviously if you want to promote your show and any other work you're doing, feel free to do that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Totally listen to us on 101.1 FM if you want to. You can hear it at 101sports.com. We're supposed to be getting a new app. It's not there yet, but we're supposed to be getting one. But you can listen online, 101sports.com. And make sure you do because, you know, the more you listen, the more money I get. So it's so much better for me if you do that. And then we have a podcast of doing it with Brad Barnes, who's our executive producer and the No Decision podcast. And it is literally called the No Decision podcast because I could not think of a name for it. They kept on insisting that I had a name, and I could not think of one, and then that came to me, and so that's what we're doing. So that is on 101sports.com, too, and we do it once a week. But, yeah, but listen to this podcast first. You have to listen to this podcast first so that you can get the plug for mine.
Yeah.
I like that you're plugging a podcast that's already, like, an hour 30 in.
We're like the pilot episode where they bring in like the new character that's going to, or like the established TV show where they bring in like the pilot episode of a spinoff TV show.
Well, it's like how
but it's not really a spinoff.
It's like how we're a spinoff of the Double Birds podcast because we were both on it. And then within like a month we started doing this. You can, even though your podcast already exists, we're going to still call you a spinoff just arbitrarily. And because
we're like seven episodes in. We're very young.
Well, I'm sure that you guys can gain experience and hopefully get on our level. But
I'm gonna try. Well, I'm just gonna see how much experience we can get before they tell us to stop doing it.
That's good. Amazingly, we have not been told to stop yet, which is truly a remarkable.
Who's gonna tell you to stop?
People can tell us to stop.
Yeah.
Who? Craig. Listeners?
Yeah, Craig Edwards is our overlord. Craig? Yeah,
Craig could tell us to stop, but he chooses not to. Yeah. Which...
Because then if you don't do it, then he's got to do it.
Probably. That's actually...
So... I mean, people can look back and see how quickly we were putting out episodes whenever he was hosting it, and we might understand why he's let us do it.
Yeah,
Craig, if you're still listening, we truly do love you, man. But, you know, got to be honest here. All right.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. It was fun. You guys are a lot of fun, so thank you.
Yes,
thank
you. I had a lot of fun.
All right, Heather, I think you should go ahead and promote your stuff while you're at it.
Oh, sure. You can follow me on Twitter at lil_scooter93. And
Lil Scooter?
Yeah. Doesn't that
Holy
make
crap,
a lot of
is
sense?
That adorable? Hold on a second. I gotta hold on. Do I follow you already?
You might already follow me, I think.
I don't know. If I don't, I gotta find Lil Scooter. That is the cutest thing I've heard in 6 years.
Thank you.
Wait, Scooter Simon, is that you?
Yes.
All right, I'm following you right now.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Oh, my God. Yay. You have 910 followers now. I make 910.
Yes. Just, I've always wanted 910.
Just remember that the 93 is based on your year of birth if you ever want to feel old for a second.
93? Yeah. What was I doing then? I think I was almost done with high school then.
That's all right. I was not almost done with high school, but I was alive, so...
You know what? Age is a number, man. It's just a number.
Yes, exactly.
It's true.
Until you have to get your colon checked out.
Oof.
haven't reached that point yet, but eventually, maybe.
Me neither, but I think I'm close. I think I have to do it soon.
I don't know what the rules on that are. I think you're probably a little bit more.
How do I'm gonna
I
go get that.
This? Anyway.
Experience? Go ahead, say it. Yeah. Say it, John.
No, I will not say it. I will never
go ahead, say it. Say it, you jerk. Go ahead, say it. Say it, you old bat. Why don't you call me an old bird or something, and then I'll move on.
No, I refuse. Anyway, though.
You can follow me on Twitter at that handle, and then I write at that same pseudonym.
Yes.
On Viva Alberto's Monday through Friday at 12 noon.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitter at JohnJF125. You can read my writing at Viva Alberto's. Check out the podcast on iTunes, other different places that I always forget the names of, but iTunes is certainly one of them. Also, check it out on Viva Alberto's, of course. Follow Viva Alberto's on Twitter at Viva Alberto's, facebook.com/Viva Alberto's, all sorts of great avenues. You can go ahead and write a review of the podcast. Tell us that we're awesome. Tell us that we're terrible, but give us 5 stars anyway because you feel pity for us, whatever it is.
But, oh, I can't wait to write a review.
I'm scared, but John would not call me old. 2 stars. Yeah, one, 2 stars. It could be worse.
Right.
No, I think what's worse is that you wanted to. I don't care that you didn't do it, but you were thinking it.
I think it a lot. I'm the youngest person in my office, and I spend most of the day alternating between either calling people old or fighting the urge to call people old.
John, let me tell you something about time. Time is undefeated, so enjoy it while you got it.
You got to hold on to the lead as long as I can.
Right.
We all will lose the battle eventually. This is a grim note to end the podcast on. Maybe we got to get Kane to give the final word, but he's sleeping on Heather's floor right now, so that appears to not be the case. But thank you once again, though, to Chris Ronji for joining us. Thank you to Heather for once again tolerating the... increasingly absurd nature of this podcast with me. And thank you all for listening, and hope everybody enjoys it. Thank you.